Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus, and welcome to everyone, especially our visitors. We're glad to see you here today, and trust that we can continue our worship together here. I just think that song we just sung is so fitting with the season that we're in. It's always fitting, but especially as we think of our Thanksgiving season, when we especially have our minds drawn to the many benefits and bounties that we as God's people can enjoy. And Jesus says that he lets it rain on the just and the unjust, and the sun shines on the good and the evil. And so we're all recipients of the goodness of God, regardless where we find ourselves. But I think Christians should especially be mindful of the benefits of being a part of the kingdom of God. And so my mind was drawn to the Psalm 33, where it says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright." And so what is it? Why does he say that? Praise is comely. What does the word comely imply? It seems to me it should be something like it's suitable, or it's befitting, or I think it enhances not only our own walk with God to be people of praise, but it also enhances our testimony to those around us, to those who see us, that they can see that we are a thankful people and that we are involved in living lives that bring glory to God. I want to turn to Psalm 107. I just want to share a few thoughts here about thankfulness. I appreciate what we heard already this morning along that line. Here he says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." And that phrase is oft repeated in the Psalms. His mercy endureth forever. What does that mean to us? What does it mean to me? To know that the mercy of the Lord endureth forever, and that it's because of that mercy that I can claim the promise and the hope of eternal life. "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them." Does that not give a picture of who we were before we experienced the mercy of God in our life, and the peace that passes all understanding became our experience? Certainly it does. And so we continue on, and we have so much to be thankful for that we have been redeemed by the Lord. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Is that our experience this morning? Has he satisfied the longing soul? Has he filled that hunger in my heart with something that is totally satisfying? And think of that phrase that he uses there, he satisfieth the longing soul. When we think about being satisfied, I think the word contentment can enter in here as well. Paul says to Timothy that the godliness with contentment is great gain. And there's something about contentment, I think, that enhances the heart of the thankful heart. You know, when the children of Israel murmured in the wilderness, which they did a number of times, too many times, But often this murmuring was accompanied with a longing for Egypt. They thought about the flesh pots. They thought about the leeks and the garlics and the onions that they were enjoying in Egypt. But they didn't think about, they didn't remember the lash of the taskmaster and the bondage of slavery. They were thinking about those other things, and they murmured and they longed to return back to Egypt again. And so I think that that thing of being satisfied and contented has a real spiritual implication for us as God's children. If we're satisfied and contented in the things of God, and our hunger has been met and our soul is filled with the goodness of God, we're not going to be hankering after the things of Egypt, you know, the things that are back there, what I can't have, what I can't do, what I want to have, what I want to do, that I'm not allowed or not able to do, and all those kind of things, you know. We're going to be satisfied. Our soul is going to be satisfied. We're going to be contented. We're going to be a thankful people. It reminds me of what Peter says there in the first book, his first letter there, chapter 2, verse 9, where he says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Show forth the praises of him. And how do you do that? Certainly that's is a product of contentment and spiritual satisfaction, isn't it? It's not that we don't desire growth and we don't see room for improvement, but in that, in our relationship with the Lord and in our commitment to Christ, there is a degree of satisfaction there and contentment and peace that we don't have when we are looking back to Egypt. We should show forth the praises of him who has called us out of that darkness and into his marvelous light. In Romania, we have a practice every fall. We have a special service that's kind of a harvest service, and the church is decorated with things of harvest of the fall, different kinds of fruits and things that have been harvested out of the gardens, and in every window there is a basket filled with fruits and fall produce and things like that. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's and at the end of the service, then every family gets to take a basket home with them, and someone has prepared it, and it's allotted out to the different families, and it's just a something that is an expression of thankfulness to the Lord and also appreciation for the brotherhood. It's kind of a giving of gifts, and it's I think, a good practice. It's something that I think that is kind of practiced throughout East Europe. I noticed that in Ukraine they do the same thing. And it was always a blessing to be there for that, experience that, which we often did going in the fall. But along with that, we also then memorized Psalm 100 as a church, and we quoted it together in the English and in Romanian. And there in Psalm 100 it says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. For the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his courts with thanksgiving and into his gates with praise. And be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." And there's so much in that psalm for us. Serve the Lord with gladness. Like he says, praise is comely to the upright. We I thought maybe it would be in order for me just to give a little bit of a update or report on the work in Romania this morning. Ruth and I have pretty much transitioned out of our responsibilities there now, and we sold our apartment. And so this time, when we left there, we moved out, and we don't have a house or a place to go there anymore, other than we've had many invitations. Well, you can always stay with us. But as I was thinking over the years, you know, for 25 years serving there, and the Lord, I believe the Lord laid his hand on us with a call for the work there. Over that period of time, there were many disappointments. And you know, we tend to focus on those disappointments. But you know, there were also many victories. And as I look back over that period of time, you know, there's so many memories that come flooding in. And some who were baptized and became part of the church left again. Others matured and moved on and are serving the Lord in there or in other places. Yet, I had to think of, you know, one little old lady there who had once been a member of our church. It was one of my special memories, I guess. It was her and her husband were older, and they were known for, he was an alcoholic, and there was also always screaming and yelling and unrest in their home. But you know, they came to the Lord, and that all changed. It got the attention of the neighbors, and they were older when this happened. And the morning they came for their baptism was a beautiful Sunday morning. I said, I'll come by your house and pick you up, so you don't have to walk, because there was a kind of a muddy street that they lived on. And I said, I'll come pick you up so you don't have to walk. And so I came to church a little early, and here they came down over the hill. They beat me to it. And it was just a beautiful fall morning. And they were just radiant. And it was just a wonderful experience. Well, a number of years later, of course, we buried him, and I think he is going to be with the Lord. But her son, her foster son and daughter-in-law, had been members of the church as well, and they left, and she kind of went with them. She was, as a small child, her father, she never knew her father. Her father was a casualty in World War II, and she never knew her father. And her mother was killed by a jealous neighbor when she was 2 years old. And so she grew up out in the fields with the shepherds, and whatever home she could go to where they would give her food, that's kind of the way she grew up. And she was totally illiterate. She'd never gone to school. So how do you help someone like that? They can't read their Bible. Their knowledge is very limited, but it was a blessing to be able to go back to her house many times as she was older, and just sit there and talk to her and sing for her and with her and read the scriptures, and here was a mind that was, in a sense, kind of childish, yet one who had experienced the hardness of life. Not a lot of good things happened to her. And she was reaching out to God. And, you know, one of the last times we were there, I think it was getting through to her. I think she was so wanting it that I think the Lord gave her the desire of her heart. You know, there was a longing, there was a hunger. And she finally, you know, she raised her hands and she praised the Lord. And we had kind of snuck in past the dog and past the daughter-in-law, who's a very angry person. And when we went out then, that was the last time I think I was there, the daughter-in-law came out. She saw that we were there then, and she cursed and blasphemed as we went out, and she was very angry because we had come in. But, you know, there was a victory won there. And there's so many stories I could tell you that, you know, sometimes I've wondered, you know, was it worth it? Was, you know, the price that, what it cost, was it worth it? And I think of many people I could tell you about that that just causes us to feel like God was in it. And now it's a kind of a chapter closed in our life. We still plan to go back for a bishop ordination. I feel very much at peace with where the church is today. I feel the burden lifted off of my shoulders. There are three ordained brethren there, and the church is in good hands, and they're moving forward autonomously. So that it just has been a blessing to be able to transition out in that context. Closing now with Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 to 17. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And so I trust, you know, as we go through life and as we do what we do, do it to the glory of God, giving thanks to him. Whatever good comes, it's only because of him, not because of us. We are simply tools and instruments in his hand, but we need to be submitted, committed, and willing in order to be used of him. So may the Lord's blessing rest on each one. Shall we kneel for prayer?